Remember, the book of James is written by the half-brother of Jesus, and it's a book from beginning to end that is very practical, and it's a book written about living the Christian life, not just believing it. And this morning we come to a passage that is tough because it talks about the abuse of the tongue and the need for us to be tongue tamers. We are called as believers in Christ to be able to control what we say. We have that ability with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, the tragedy is we live in a culture and a time of rudeness, where rudeness is the way people respond to people, and where being mean and saying mean things is just part of it. You speak the truth. Not really, but that's what people say, and that's what people claim to do. And it really, to me, was exemplified by a young lady, 17 years of age, named Michelle Carter. How many of you know who Michelle Carter is? And that doesn't count my life group, because I said it. Michelle Carter, 17 years old, was the long-distance girlfriend of a guy named Roy, or Conrad Roy. He was 18. And she was just recently, in the last year, convicted of basically texting him to death. She was the young lady who texted him one day. He was a young man that struggled with mental illness, and she struggled with mental illness too. But one day she just texted him, and she said something to the effect that today's a good day to do it, talking about kill himself. And I printed out all the negative text between her and him, basically her encouraging him that his parents would be okay, that he had tried it before, and it was just, I was going to read it to you, but it made me sick at my stomach. As a matter of fact, at one point of the conversation, he had his truck rigged up for carbon monoxide poisoning, and at one point, he got out of his truck and said he couldn't do it. It was too painful. And she encouraged him on. And he did it. And his parents were devastated. She's in jail. It's just a tragedy. And see, in a culture today, I can't even talk about using your tongue because we text now. But I'm going to say this, go on the record. If you text, it's the same thing as speaking it with your mouth. And one of the tragedies is that we live in this culture where it's okay and people have no... I was raised where you spoke to any man older than you, you call him Mr. or Mrs., you know. Now, that is not a plea for your kids to call me Mr. Ashburn or Reverend. That's not what my point is. I still to this day... that's older than me because my dad taught me to respect teachers, policemen, just like people in authority over me. That's the way I was raised. And you suffered if you didn't follow. And so I have a healthy respect for, and I also was not allowed to call people names. I was not allowed to make fun of people. That was our core DNA of what it meant to grow up in my family. But when we look in the scripture, we also find that in James, every chapter in James, he has at least one reference to the dangers of abusing the tongue. So it's pretty important to the half-brother of Jesus that you and me, as believers in Jesus Christ, control what comes out of our mouths, understanding that what comes out of our mouths comes really out of our hearts. That's scary when you hear the things that come out. So this morning, the goal is for us to tame our tongue. And we all struggle with this. And it's very important. So let's look at James chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. It says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest, we live in an area where we have great forests, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of our body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now here's where he gets to us even more specific. With the tongue we praise our Lord. You just did that. We praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness, made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. There's a lot there about the importance of controlling the tongue. And the first point is at first kind of troubling to me, because the one thing we constantly need are people who teach God's Word. And so let me help you explain a bit. The first thing I want to say, though, is teaching is serious business. It is so incredibly serious to understand that what comes out of your mouth, especially when you're teaching people about God's Word, is serious business. I talked about last week how important it was to me that you understood that you just don't say a prayer and get baptized and go to heaven and live like the devil. If someone taught you that kind of theology, they taught you a false theology. Because knowing Jesus Christ ought to change the way you live and the way you talk. And if there's no change, there's a problem. So what I say is important as a pastor. What I say, the tough things that I say, it is important. Sometimes I think, oh crud, I'm going to say this and it's going to stir up a hornet's nest. People, you need to understand something. I'm here to do what God tells me to do when it comes to teaching, regardless if you like it or not. And I'll be honest with you, and I will be loving honest with you. But we need to understand that teaching is serious business. And James mentions it in every chapter. As a matter of fact, in chapter 1, verse 26, he said this, if anyone considers himself to be religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. That's heavy. There's no way to sugarcoat that. We need to understand that the tongue may be the major spiritual indicator of how spiritually mature you are. Because you need to understand, the average person speaks 18,000 words a day. And do you realize that you and I are accountable for those 18,000 words? That's heavy. That's very heavy. That unkind word, that thing that you say that devastates someone, is big business to God. It's serious. We need to understand in verse 1 when he says, not many of you should presume to be preachers, that he was speaking to a culture that idolized preachers. As a matter of fact, in the Jewish times at that time, the rabbi was the most important person. You were supposed to take better care of your rabbi than your own parents. That's how elevated a rabbi was. But in the Jewish times, They would also invite other respected men to come in and speak in the temple. Remember, Jesus was not a rabbi, but he was invited to speak in the temple. Remember that? He was asked to come up and share a few words. And it was an exalted position, and it was carried on into the New Testament church, the early church. And they had a problem with it in Corinthians, because in the early church, they didn't have the scripture yet, so the apostles would teach, and then other spiritually mature men were supposed to also speak. But the problem was everybody wanted to be the teacher. Everybody wanted to be the speaker. It was a cool thing. Their motives during the time that James wrote this, their motives was not to teach people the Word of God. Their motive was to be respected by other people. And so he says, be careful. It's important for you to understand that we are to be concerned about what we say if we teach kids in Sunday school, if we teach teenagers, if we teach adults. Every time we pretend to share God's Word, we need to understand it's serious business. Never is a time when you talk to someone about spiritual things when it's not serious. Okay? And yet, you should want to be a teacher. As a matter of fact, you say, well, I ain't going to be a teacher because they're held to a stricter standard. Do you know the scripture says you're supposed to teach? You go to Matthew 18, 19, and 20, the Great Commission, and we're all to make disciples. That is the command to make disciples. And at the last part of, I think it's verse 20, somewhere in there, it says that we're to teach them to do what? Obey. Every single one of you who are a Christian, you're called to make disciples like I am called to make disciples. And one of your responsibilities is to help them learn how to obey. It's very serious business. It's the greatest job in the world. I spent all day Monday wrestling with this text and got nothing accomplished. I mean, literally sat in my seat all day because it's heavy stuff. And I didn't have anything at the end of the day. And finally, sometime Tuesday, I was able to figure out what I thought God wanted me to share with you about His Word. But the thing I want you to know is teaching God's Word is serious business. And here's the thing. We're all called to be in the business. Every single one of us. Couple comments. First of all, if you're a new Christian, the Scripture teaches your first responsibility is not to teach other people, but to grow spiritually. The Bible is very clear that new Christians need to mature so they can teach people correctly. One of the worst things to do is to let a new Christian start teaching. Why? They don't know. You know, they have to grow. The second thing is that if you're a Christian, God wants you to be accountable for what you teach about Him and how to live for Him. You are held to a high standard. Not just me, you. We. We need to understand that we're all called to teach. And it is serious business. And we need to take it as serious business. And then, the third thing is we must always tell the truth. We must always tell the truth from God's Word in love. And so when I say things to you that are hard, I'm not doing that to hurt you. I've had to listen to it personally before I share it with you. I'm telling it to you to help you. And so it's serious business, and we understand. But the second point, spiritual maturity involves taming the tongue. You cannot be spiritually mature if you can't control the trap. If you're a gossiper or a slanderer, or someone who speaks unkind words, that is a sign that you're not mature. And James, I love it because he's nice. He says, we all stumble in many ways. We all stumble. Spiritual maturity doesn't mean that I'm not going to make mistakes with my mouth, because I will. I talk 18,000 plus. But every word I'm held accountable for. And I never feel good when I misuse the tongue. Never. Never once. But here's the picture of spiritual maturity. He says, if anyone is never at fault in what he says. He is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Now, that word perfect means mature. You're never going to be perfect. You are only perfect this morning because Christ died for you and he covers your sins. That's the only way you're getting in. That's how you're perfect. But you can be mature if you can handle and control your mouth. We need to understand that James is trying to say, even though... Because here's what we think. The bad people are the bad sinners out there. They're the ones that are the... Listen, I said this a couple Wednesday nights ago. People want to go get on to people who are doing sinful things. We ought to start with the talkers first. I said that. Why? It does more damage. Your unkind word, your gossip, your slander... My gossip, my slander, it does more destruction than anything else. We need to understand that even though your mouth is a little thing, and we've in the church tried to make it to seem insignificant, it's a huge thing. It changes the direction for good or bad in your life. And he gives several illustrations. He gives the first illustration of a horse. And he talks about... how if you put a bit in a horse's mouth, and what does the bit go on top of? The tongue. If you can control that tongue of a horse, you can control what? The whole horse. Pretty good picture. And then he goes to another picture and he talks about, think about that big cruise ship. You ever been on a cruise ship? That big cruise ship, it's going through the water. How does it turn? A little rudder. Little rudder. Turns a big ship. And then he talks about a spark, a small fire, does what? Destroys a whole forest. And the picture there is little things matter. And you may not think your tongue is a big deal, but it's a huge deal. It's the biggest indicator of who you are as a believer in Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that it is important to control what we say. And spiritual maturity is measured by what we say and sometimes by what we don't say. How spiritually mature are we this morning? What comes out of your mouth during the week? Listen, people say, I'm not going to cuss in the church. I got news for you. This is not your church. You are the church. When you talk bad about people outside the church, you're in church because you are the church. That's scary. Spiritual maturity is being able to not say or to say the right things. It's a little thing in our eyes, but it's a huge thing in God's eyes. And the only way you can tame it is not you taming it. You can't tame it. Psalm 19:14 says this. It's the most beautiful picture of how to tame your mouth. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Only when your mouth is controlled by the Holy Spirit, when the insides are controlled by you, will you only be able to make strides in maturity, spiritually speaking. Allow the Holy Spirit to control what you say. You don't have a right to say, listen, I've seen the most immature Christians in churches, in business meetings. I haven't had a bad one here. And I always tell those stories because I don't care what your constitution and bylaws say. I do care what the scriptures say. Scripture trumps constitution and bylaws every time, in my opinion. Now, I want to go by the Constitution and bylaws. Everybody's going, oh, Brother Bill's. Listen, did you hear what I said? I'm for the Constitution and bylaws. Here's what I do know. The Scripture tells us how to act. So we need to understand it's important to let the Holy Spirit control what we say. Here's the third thing. This is where it gets ugly. An uncontrolled tongue is deadly. Prime example, 17-year-old lady. Young lady is in prison today because of her mouth. You say, well, she texted. Same thing. Text is an extension of your heart and your mouth. Now, I'm going to tell you parents something. Y'all listen to me. You have every right to look at your kid's cell phone. And you should look at it all the time. You say, well, it's theirs. I'm invading their privacy. No, you're not. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. They say, well, what if they buy their phone? What if it's their phone? Do they live in your house? Who is responsible to God for your kids? You are. Not freedom of expression. We saw a thing last night, as a matter of fact, about a young lady who was going to be kidnapped by a predator online, who she met with her secret app, but she didn't have a secret app because I think her parents had full access. They were able to literally save her life. Caught the guy. Police wouldn't help until something was done. Listen, you ought to look at their text messages. You need to hold them accountable. It is not a right, it's a privilege. Do you hear me? Because here's why. What comes out on that text is really what's in their heart. What comes out in my text, my tweets, I'm accountable to God for every single thing I put on my text or my tweet, and so are you. He gives a picture that he says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. This girl had a small spark. It was a text. But it did great damage. A person killed themselves. He says, the tongue is also a fire. It's called a fire. Do you know a fire is the only thing that continues to keep going as long as it has fuel, right? Water doesn't reproduce because there's more water, but a fire, as long as it has fuel, will keep going and growing. As a matter of fact, I thought it was incredible. You've heard the old saying about O'Leary in Chicago. I'd always heard it, but I didn't really think about it. But Ms. O'Leary, remember that story? Her cow kicked over a lantern. Small thing. But do you know what the results were? It destroyed 17,500 buildings. 300 people. 300 people died because of Ms. O'Leary's cow knocking over a lantern. 125,000 were homeless. All because of a silly lantern. Small thing. Did great damage. So your tongue is called a fire. It's not a compliment. It can be destructive. It's also called a world of evil. Why is your tongue called a world of evil when it's in the wrong direction? It's because it reveals what's in your heart. Words like anger, hate. Listen, I never said the word, I hate you around my dad, to anybody in our family. Why? That's big business. Words matter. Words matter. He also talks about it not only being a world of evil, it corrupts the whole body. If you're a person known for unwholesome, unkind words, gossip, slander, you are labeled that in your community. Isn't that true? We all know who the gossips are, right? You don't hide. It labels who you are. It's a terrible thing. It's a dangerous thing. And not only that, but it corrupts your whole body. It says it affects your life. An evil tongue, get this, an evil tongue, an uncontrolled tongue is set on fire by hell itself. In other words, your evil words, your unkind words are the instigation of Jesus, Satan. That's heavy stuff. Your mouth can be a tool in Satan's hands. He talks about in those verses that we could control animals. Some of us control our animals more than we control ourselves. But then he says this, and this is to me, he says it's a restless evil. Full of what? Deadly poison. Your mouth is full of deadly poison when it's not controlled by Jesus Christ. My mouth is evil when it's not under control of the Holy Spirit. It's big business. We need to understand that God takes it serious. We will be held accountable for the gossip and the slander. The things we say, it's serious business. It's an evil. So in other words, stop it. If it's an issue with you, stop it. And then he gets to the fourth thing. This is where he just gets practical. Don't be inconsistent with your tongue. Look at verses 9 through 12. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. We just did that, right? We just sang hymns to who? God? Yeah. Talked about that. But look what he says. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Now here's the hard part. This is the part I struggled about telling you. And I got to tell you the truth. And I will try to tell it to you kindly. Even that person you know who is evil, like this young lady, things that she did was very evil, does not give me the right to destroy her with my tongue. Why? She's created in the image of God. Every single person, even if they're a non-believer, is still created in the image of God. Every person has value. Why? Because they're created in the image of God. And so James is saying, you come in here and you sing praises to God and you curse that evil person who's made in my image. And he goes on to say this. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. And he says, my brothers, he's trying to be nice. My brothers, this should not be. It just shouldn't happen. You don't need to know Greek to understand that. You shouldn't praise God with one thing and destroy a human with the other mouth. There's not two mouths. It's one. Because he goes on to say, can both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? The answer is what? Does a spring ever produce, a freshwater spring produce salt water? No. But look what else he says. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives? Y'all are farmers, or y'all from the country. When you plant tomatoes, do you ever get peaches? Why, it's stupid, isn't it? Or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So what's he saying? You can't be inconsistent. You can't praise God on one hand and then destroy with your text or your... Right? I mean... Why? You're accountable. I'm accountable for what I say or what I text. Every person is made in the image of God. That statement, this should not be, in the Greek, is a very strong negative. And it's only found here in the New Testament. It's a big deal to God. The idea is it's unacceptable to tear other human beings, regardless of what they've done or said, or it is unacceptable to tear them down. Because why? Here, I want you to know the why. Because they're created in the image of God. We can tame a lot of things. You can put a bit in a horse mouth and control the horse. You get in a cruise ship and that big old ship is turned by a little rudder. You can even burn down a forest with a small fire. But maybe the greatest challenge we have is to control this little thing called the mouth. And listen, the church is meant to be a place, not where your evil or your wrongdoing is praised, but it's a place where we can say, together we're better, we grow better, we become like Christ, don't give up, keep changing. So what we say in here is so important. We need to drop the labels. Oh, that person's divorced. That person is a drug addict. This person is... That person's created in the image of God. He died for that person. So, tongue taming. It's something that we are supposed to do because the Scripture is very clear. What I said to those kids is so true. Don't ever... I still remember being called Four Eyes. I still remember being called Pimple Face. I still remember being called Train Track Mouth. I still remember that stuff. Why? Because it hurt me. Thank goodness I had a dad who constantly told me, and I had a little breakdown yesterday. I miss my dad. I had a dad that always told me, Bill, you can do it. Bill, I love you. Bill, I mean, that's what I grew up with. Don't listen to him, Bill. You're my son. My dad counteracted all the ugliness that I heard. But it wasn't until I understood that Jesus says, I died for you. I love you. I created you. You're beautiful. When I got that message plus my dad's message, the world didn't matter anymore. My health is my self-esteem is in Christ, not the world, not your opinions, not my opinions. Him. Let's pray. Father, we have in our possession the tongue, which is one of the more dangerous things in our county. With it we praise you, with it we condemn people. As a believer, now, if as a believer, we're under obligation to do right, to not be like everybody else. May we be that kind of church. May we be the kind of church that gives hope, gives words of affirmation and love. May we be the kind of church that builds people up. I pray for those who struggle with their tongue. They'd understand how serious it is. And they don't have to worry about me or anybody else because they will be accountable someday for what they say. Help us to take that serious. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.